Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC Executive Committee conference call on the Thursday, the 22nd of August, 2013. The time is 14:03 UTC, and we'll immediately start with a roll call and apologies. If you would like to start, Gisela, please.
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela here. On today's call, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Tijani Benjamin, Evan Leibovich, Carlton Samuels, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Alan Greenberg. Renalia will hopefully be joining us shortly, and we have a tentative apology from Julie Hammer, who may be able to join us for the second hour. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Matt Ashtiani, Julia Charvolin, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And if I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela, and welcome, everyone. I'm not sure if we have not mentioned anyone who is on the call at the moment. I don't see any other names on the Adobe Connect, but has anyone not been mentioned? No? Okay. So, welcome everybody for this call, and apologies for taking you out of your summer holiday, which is the custom in many parts of the world at the moment. We're going to try and make this one a little fast, although we do have a very full agenda today. And so we'll immediately go over to the review of the action items from the 30th of July ExCom meeting, the last one that we had. There are a number of them. Quite a few have actually been done. Let's see, how do we start? Let's go for just the ones, as you'll notice, the ones that are not complete yet, and see if we can get an update on the ones that are complete. As far as the ones that are complete, I'll leave it to you to read through them in your own time. So, Sylvia Vivanco is to inform the Railo officers that the ExCom encourages a discussion on the Cross-Railo Policy Development Workspace during their next Cross-Railo teleconference.
Hello. Yes.
Go ahead, Sylvia.
Yeah. Today we have the Cross-Railo teleconference, so I will bring this up with all the Railo leaders.
Okay, fantastic. And just I'll be on that call as well in case you do need to call for me to just explain where we should be going with it soon. Next is Tijani Benjamin and Eduardo Diaz are to provide an update on the meeting strategy working group activities during the 27th of August ALAC call. I believe that's on the agenda. Heidi?
Yes, it's going to be when I prepare that ALAC agenda today. This is Heidi.
Thank you. Thanks, Heidi. Next, Olivier is to work with the ALAC to decide whether Dave and Antilik Singh should be appointed chair of the ALAC subcommittee on outreach, and there will be that will be also on the ALAC's agenda. Next, Alan Greenberg is to complete required documents to allow the new rules of procedure to be put in place. Once that is close to complete, the chair will put out a call for members of the board member selection process committee, the BMSPC. Oh, great. Okay. New acronym.
Hey.
I know Alan has been extremely busy until now, and let's not put the pressure. There's still time to move forward with this in the next
few
weeks.
You can put pressure. What committee did you just say, by the way?
The Board Member Selection Process Committee, the BMSPC.
Yeah,
that's the first time I hear of this.
I think that is actually the correct name.
It is.
I have, what is the status? We need to make a decision. We need to make a decision today on the email lists, and there is only one document left. That is the description of how we did the board thing last time. I have a list of URLs that I have to assemble into a document, and I will be sending the list to Cheryl today to verify that they are the definitive ones. And as soon as I get that back, I will cobble them into a document, and that one will be ready to go out for a vote.
Send me a date on the sound of it.
Thank you very much, Alan. All in hand. Next, Matt Ashtiani is to work with Dave and Antilik Singh and Olivier Crépin Leblanc on the development of an overall workspace for the collection of at-large action items. We've had a conference call a couple of days ago. We might or might not have one tonight. The conference call we had, we experimented with several nesting and double nesting of pages to try and see if we can have a single page of action items. But our conclusions weren't that great for the time being. So still in hand, still ongoing, and the testing is going on to try and resolve this. Any questions or comments on any of these action items or any of the closed action items which I did not read through?
All good.
Seeing no one put their hands up, let's move on to the next set of action items. And that is the Durban ALAC and at-large action items on the 14th and 19th of July. There's still quite a few there. I thought we'd quickly go through these so as not to drop the ball. And remember, we still have quite a few to complete here. On the ALAC and regional leadership, Olivier is to follow up with Sally Costerton and inform her that the concept of the public interest is on the agenda of ATLAS 2. I have a conference call tomorrow, Friday, with Sally Costerton. Also, Olivier is to request that ICANN senior staff provide additional information to clarify the status of Sally Costerton's initiative on the further investigation of the concept of the public interest. And that, again, will be discussed tomorrow in the call with her. Olivier is to engage with other AC and SO chairs about the possibility of cross-community activity regarding the definition of public interest. I was going to pursue this after speaking to Sally Costerton and bring some clarity on this. And Holly Reich, Renali Abdul-Rahim, Salanet Atamani-Kawamaro, and Rob Wolf Ludwig are to watch the situation of the concept of the public interest and alert the ALAC if further action is necessary in this field. Any thoughts on this feedback? I'll continue then. On the ALAC and regional leadership section session on the metrics update, Gisela is to send a doodle to coordinate with Cheryl and determine times for the metrics working group's teleconferences. And Gisela is also to ensure the ALAC is prepared to capture the metrics from the time that the revised rules of procedure go live for initial reporting at the Singapore meeting. Gisela, Cheryl, any update on this?
Olivier Gisela here. I'll work with Cheryl over the next couple of days. I've just been firing away at getting the handover sorted out, and that is next on the to-do list. So we'll have a call early September, whenever we're back from holiday.
Fantastic. Thank you, Gisela. I heard a few peeps from Cheryl in the background at some point.
Yep, I was just saying, no, not done yet. They're in progress, and I'm happy with September as well.
Okay, super. At-large regulatory issues. Carlton Samuels is to ensure that the regulatory issues working group that will prepare a response to the expert working group that addresses the promises of its development, but also places it in context of the current status of who is. Any news on this? I must say I'm kind of discovering this one because I wasn't part of that meeting. So, Carlton, would you care to enlighten us, please?
This is Carlton, for the record. We've been having a to and fro on the list. We haven't really put together a formal response yet. Holly is going to lead in that with my help. Although we have some time because the EWG has extended the time for accepting comments until the 10th of September.
Oh, okay. That provides a bit more time then. Good. Thank you, Carlton. Next, the ALAC Executive Meeting and Regional Leaders Meeting.
Olivier, it's Alan.
Oh, Alan, please go ahead. Sorry, I didn't see your hand. Now I see it.
That's because I'm invisible. With regard to the expert working group comment, I'm not part of that group either, nor have I been part of any of the formal discussions within ALAC or informal discussions. I certainly have strong reservations about the details in the expert working group report, and although I strongly support a a feel-good statement saying, the ALAC supports continuing discussion and working towards some answer, I would have a significant amount of problem personally endorsing the specifics of what is there, given the possible difficulty of any implementation coming anywhere close to what they're saying and meeting a variety of needs, including privacy and such around the world. So, obviously, the statement doesn't have to, I don't have to support everything the ALAC says, but I just wanted to serve notice that I for one, have significant problems with some of the, endorsing the specifics in that report.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. Okay, Carlton, actually, when do you think a first draft could be put together? Are you basically saying a statement is necessary?
No, I don't think a statement is necessary, but I was overruled by that. I would get to Holly and find out when she thinks that it's going to be let under her hand. The discussions on the list did note Alan's statement. We were hoping to have better particulars from him as to exactly what areas he was uncomfortable with. So those will be taken into consideration in some way, shape, or form. I don't believe the statement that we have is going to be a gung-ho rah-rah kind of statement, as I said in the earlier discussions, because I'm a part of the group. While I can participate in discussion, I surely would wish not to be the primary author of it.
Yeah, that's understood, Carlton. Thank you. Well, and I think that's often the case for those of us who are part of a working group that is then asking for comments from the rest of the ALAC. So that's well understood. Okay, well, let's move on. I see this is in hand. If you could just try and push all those on the list to try and get something out soon. I'm always wary of the time ticking and then people turning up at the 11th hour with brand new revelations and, unfortunately, very little time to integrate their point of view in a final statement, which is often what we are faced with. Let's move on. Passing over all of the action items which were completed, going all the way down to the ALAC executive meeting. I thought it was executive committee meeting and regional leaders meeting with the ASO leadership. And there we have two action items which are related to the calendar of the RIR meetings, with Gisela needing to create a calendar with all of the RIR meetings. We've been working with Gisela. I understand there's a problem, a technical problem of some sort. Gisela, could you enlighten us, please?
Yes, Gisela here, Olivier. I entered all the August and September meetings to give you an overview of what the calendar would look like once all these had been entered, because there are quite a few, and I'm not sure all of them are relevant. And unfortunately, when doing so and having completed it, it seems to me that half the meetings are not showing on the calendar, which means I have to do it. That will be redone over the next 48 hours.
So that are you saying they're not transferring automatically?
Automatically? No. Sorry, no. Each and every entry has to be done manually.
I thought that the whole calendar could be downloaded in one go as an ICS file or something. Very strange. It was, I believe... Who was it that told us of this calendar? Was it Lutz Donnerhacker who told us about this calendar? Maybe we should ask him whether there's a way to import it in an easier fashion. Well, we'll follow up offline. Next,
okay.
The AP Rallo discussion. Let's move on. There's only one thing on there. Sylvia Vivanco is to organize an AP Rallo webinar on the outcome of the meeting strategy working group, and the community is to provide feedback. Other RALOs are to be made of this webinar for their own use. Any follow-up on this, Sylvia?
Olivia, the meeting strategy working group is working on the report. I think it will be released in September, and once that is done, I will organize the webinar.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sylvia. Next, moving down, the ALAC and NCSG. There is one action item remaining. Olivia is to follow up with Wolfgang Kleinwächter on the civil society umbrella in ICANN. I did see Wolfgang over the summer at the European Summer School on Internet Governance. Unfortunately, we did not have any time to discuss this face-to-face because we were just so busy with other things. I think this is an ongoing thing, and we'll probably be able to follow up in the next few months. Any questions or comments? No, let's move on then. The regional leadership meeting is not with us. Afralo, no. Rallo regional leadership, no. The wrap-up meeting, here we go. Devon N. Tidak Singh is to be considered to replace Cheryl Langdonor, who is the current interim chair of the ALAC Subcommittee on Outreach. And Alan Greenberg is to follow up on options for carrying out votes during ICANN meetings. So first, Dave, I believe that we will be having a discussion on the next ALAC call.
Olivia, this is Heidi.
Yes, Heidi.
Yes, my recollection was that we were going to have an item on the capacity building working group. Should I add both of outreach as a subcommittee as well as the capacity building working group? Or was
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You can do it on that as well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it really is, the ALAC can position the next person.
Okay.
Tijani.
Yes, thank you. Tijani speaking. Olivier, I think we already discussed the issue of the outreach working group, and I think that under the proposal of Cheryl, we agreed that Dev take over the leadership of this working group.
Yes, thank you, Tijani. I think that we agreed as XCOM. I'm not sure that we actually agreed as the ALAC, and we need to bring it to the ALAC's discussion. Make a proposal to the overall ALAC, and then I guess I can make a consensus call on whether anyone objects. And if no one objects, then we can proceed forward. Just to expedite matters, and I guess that Dave will have a lot of work on his hands if he starts up with that. Alan?
I'm having some difficulty recalling exactly what that action item with my name in it is about. I suspect it's not quite worded properly because we know how to carry out votes during meetings.
Thank you, Alan. I think it was to do with the fact that we took so much time on the votes during the wrap-up that you were going to be tasked to try and provide us with clear options on how to carry out votes when you had people that were not in the room and people that were, if you recall, several of our members were not in the room itself, so Matt was trying to get their vote via Skype, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, I think that was for rules under our new rules of procedure, what are the options? I believe
that's correct, yes.
Okay, then that I can do. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
And
any other comments or questions?
If the AI can be modified to add under our new rules of procedure, that would make me not ask this question a third time because I think I already asked it once.
Thank you, Alan. Whoever's in charge of the wiki, could you please make that change?
This is not a problem.
Thank you, Matt. I see Cheryl Langdonor next.
Hi. Thank you, Cheryl, on the record. Been busy typing and none of it is showing up, so I, better say what I was going to say. And yes, I think making voting, which is a change on the rules of procedure so it can be a little bit more streamlined on the voting is good. Outreach and capacity building sharing for Dave, which as you know I'm wholeheartedly supportive of. There is, as you'll see in the next part, still a couple of action items that are on the current chair of the capacity building working group one. I think it's wise to have the ALAC just have a single, perhaps the two subsets of discussion on the agenda so that they can endorse that. But it's probably going to be more useful if instead of waiting for an email to be sent to the list by the current chair, even though there was a very small amount of discussion and it's really pro forma that needs to be done. It hasn't been done yet. It might be worth staff taking over that. If the chair can't do it, staff might need to do it in the wrapping up of things. So at least there's been an hour or five where there can be response from the list. Not that I expect anything other than affirmation, but if you're going to make the change, change to do both in one heat, which I think is quite reasonable, you've still got to pick up a couple of the AIs out of the CD working group meeting, and the main one here is the need for a ping to the list, which has been done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And I guess that's a very valid point with regards to things moving forward. Staff, would you be able to follow up, or have you followed up with the current chair at the moment?
Olivia, yes. This is Heidi. Yes, we have, and unfortunately no response to that at the moment.
Okay, thank you. So in which case, I guess because she has announced her resignation during the meeting, I believe, that is on record. And I guess you can therefore move forward. And I guess under the guise of the minutes of the meeting, this can be sent over to the mailing list. So all on the mailing list are aware of what's going on. Gisela, you might need to mute yourself. Thank you. Okay, let's move on. Alan, your head is still up.
No, it isn't.
It's still up with me at the moment.
I know, but if I could get my cursor over to the little thing, I could put it down.
Oh, now it's down. Fantastic. Thank you. All right, let's move on then. There seems to be a meeting which says David Olive on it, which I guess is the meeting with David Olive. Heidi and Gisela are to organize a webinar for the at-large on the TLD market space. Any news on this, Heidi? I think we said sometime in September.
This is Heidi. Yes, so we're still able to develop that, but if I could just ask for some more direction on what exactly that means, TLD marketplace, what kind of issues would you like to be discussed on that so I can identify some speakers, please?
Thank you, Heidi. Well, for some of us, this is an oxymoron. There is no such thing as a GTLD marketplace, but for others, there is such a thing. Which is, I guess, the business side of GTLDs. At least that's how I understand it. Rinaldia mentions on the chat that there was a briefing that was made to the GAC and that we wanted the same presentation. I'm not quite sure who had made that presentation, whether it came from, from David's office or whether it was someone else who came up with the presentation. You probably will have to check with David. I know it's here. It's an external party, says Rinaldia on the chat. Now, there is a presentation which I have followed, actually, from Dirk Kreshanovsky from Dot Berlin, who has presented something around to quite a few people in ICANN meetings as well. And it's quite a fun presentation to see. It's pretty much up to date as well. So I'm not sure whether that was the presentation that was targeted or not. Probably have to check that. And that's it. Yes, it's not the same one as Dirk's. Okay. Any other thoughts on this? Because that's all the information I have. Okay, so Heidi will follow up with GAC support. Fantastic. Thank you. Discussion with ICANN board members. Once the FY14 budget is approved, the ALAC is to send a note to the board explaining the plans for the summit as well as set out the excitement and expectations of the ALAC on holding their second summit. It's extremely exciting, but I'm not quite sure if the FY14 budget has been approved yet. Heidi, would you please enlighten us on this?
This is Heidi. Thank you, Olivier. The board will be approving the budget today. I'm not sure exactly what time. I can get that to you in just one moment. But it is today.
Oh, we've waited a few months. I'm not sure we're
today.
So eager to know
today.
The exact time and date. Okay, perfect. Thank you. So once this is done, we'll be able to show our excitement. Next, Cheryl is to lead the creation of a CCNSO at-large task force to prepare the CCNSO ALAC meeting in Buenos Aires. And that's a very important thing. And in fact, we'll be discussing this shortly later on during this XCOM call. After that, a call to be sent out to the mailing list asking for volunteers for the ALAC CCNSO meeting prep task force for Buenos Aires. Well, that all comes together. So these are all the current action items. I see Cheryl with her hand up. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the record. I actually was, as I discussed with Heidi briefly via email, when we get to talking about the Buenos Aires and the other things in the ISKCOM calendar, that last action item, I think you... as an ALAC should consider altering or removing, and I'm happy to speak to that either now or later.
The last action item, removing?
Yeah.
Well, a joint list, was it?
Calling for volunteers.
Okay.
You should be appointing. I think you should be appointing people, and I'll explain why, but I'm happy to talk to that now or later. So.
No, we will find out in a moment. Let's just wait in anticipation and first go through the policy advice development page, which I invite you all to go through. And hopefully it will take less than 15 minutes, although there are a lot of points which we've made recently, thanks to all of the pen holders on the recently adopted ALAC statements. And we have the statements or endorsement currently being developed. With the first one being the Community Priority Evaluation Update from ICANN. I'm not quite sure where we are now on this because I've provided some details and so on and tasked Renalia to move forward with drafting a first draft. Renalia, could you please enlighten us? And I'm not quite sure if Renalia is on the call or whether she's just on the chat. We can't hear you at the moment.
I'm sorry. Can you just repeat what you just said?
Yes. Welcome, Renalia. The At-Large Community Priority Evaluation Update from the ICANN workspace. This effectively is the recent discussions which you've had with Jean-Jacques Subrana and Carlton and other people. And I believe that's a statement coming from us, which I've asked you in an earlier email, if you could please hold the pen on.
Yeah, this is Renalia. I'll try to do a draft and send it over to Matt.
Okay, thank you. This, I guess, is an important thing. You've noticed the reply we've received from ICANN staff that they had made a mistake, so we do have until the 6th of September, and that means we'll be able to submit a statement just in time. Proposal to mitigate name...
I have a request from Matt, though. Sorry, I have
yes,
a request
Yes, go ahead,
from Matt.
Renalia.
For this statement, the Community Priority Evaluation Panel, the Economist Intelligence Unit, has prepared a document with the evaluation guidelines, and they wanted input on that. And I was wondering if Matt could pick up that document and put it on the wiki page, because I would imagine that the community might want to comment on the specifics of the guidelines as well.
Yes, Renalia, you're absolutely right. Just open the page, and it certainly looks a little bit bare. So, Matt, you'll have to fill this one up and have the link to the different documents which are under discussion, and, of course, the link to the community evaluation panel space, which is on the new GTLD working group website. I see Heidi has put her hand up. Heidi, you have the floor.
Yes, yes, Olivier, thank you. This is Heidi for the record. On the issue of the CPE and the EIU, I did see your notes, Christine, the response from Christine Willick regarding the extension of the date of the closing of the request for comments date, but I didn't see any comment about the issue that Jean-Jacques brought up about the EIU having been chosen without perhaps a bid for tender, et cetera. Would you like me to follow up on that issue?
Yes, please, Heidi, that would be great.
Okay.
I hadn't sent that email, the request regarding Jean-Jacques' question. I had not sent it through the same channel. There was a separate channel, but certainly we can
ask for a
clarification on this.
Okay, thank you.
Good point, thank you. Okay, the next one is the proposal to mitigate name collision risks. And the ALAC is currently, Julie Hammer is holding the pen to draft a statement at the moment, which is already on the wiki with a second version already. And I think that will soon be ready for a vote. I believe the call for comments has closed yesterday. So the vote announcement is, wow, that was a very short call for comments, but... The vote will start today, is that correct? Julie.
Hi, yes, if you're happy with those couple of extra sentences, I'll post that as the final version and the vote can go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Julie. I think I haven't seen anyone go against any of those recommendations so far. I see Matt Ashani.
Hi, this is Matt Ashani for the record. Julie, I actually posted what you sent in the email on the website. So if you think what you've already sent out, you don't need to post it.
Thank you, Matt. That's great.
Thanks very much, Matt, and thank you, Julie, for this statement. This certainly is a follow-up to the name collision risks and particularly important thing. Let's move to the next one, the rights protection mechanism, RPM requirements. Any thoughts on this, actually? I open the floor because we haven't allocated it to anyone or no one stepped forward so far. I'm going to have to ask Alan if he knows anything about this, since this is a GNSO-related thing. Oh, I see suddenly quite a few people with their hands up. Let's first start with Carlton and then Evan. Carlton, go ahead. And you might be muted, sir.
This is Carlton. This is Carlton for the record.
Can hear you.
With regard to the RPM, I think on the list I did see something from Ong suggesting that she develop a statement for the ALAC. I recall I agreed that this was probably a good suggestion. We didn't follow through on it.
Okay, thank you, Carlton. And Evan Ibovich.
Thanks, Olivier. This is Evan. I just want to be reminded here of having ALAC getting involved in feature creep in the sense that we can't just knee-jerk every time something comes up. If there is an end-user component of the RPM discussion, that has an effect on us and that requires us to get involved. What I find very often is that there's a lot of things like this that churn within the GNSO that are of interest within the commercial bodies but don't necessarily have an end-user impact. And we need to be cognizant of that and not necessarily feel the need to instinctively reply anytime something comes up. If there is you know, if there is an end user component to this, we need to analyze it and respond. But I don't think we need to in all cases. You know, we had something coming up on the mailing lists recently that seemed to be, you know, about the string contention issues. You know, it might be good for our information, but we don't necessarily have to respond to everything, especially to things that we can analyze that don't necessarily have an end user interest component. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. My recollection is that Hong posted a statement saying she was pleased that the Trademark Clearinghouse now has some mandate to or requirement to support variants. The wording is sort of vague, but she thought it was a lot clearer than I personally did, and I think that was going to be the substance. And since we have made so many statements on variants so strongly with regard to the Trademark Clearinghouse, I think it's not inappropriate for us to say thank you or something like that. But I believe that was the context in which Hong said she would draft something. And
thank you very much, Alan.
And just for the record, on the string confusion issue that I posted something on, it was never posted as something the ALEC needs to get concerned about. It was something of interest regarding the new GTLD program that I thought people wanted to be alerted to. If people don't want that kind of thing posted to the ALEC list, I'll cease and desist.
Thanks very much, Alan. Evan, you still have your hand up. Okay. So I hear two points of view here, that some believe we should have a statement on this, and some believe we shouldn't have a statement on this. I'm in two minds as well, I guess. I would tend to agree with Evan in some way that we are just having so many statements come out at the moment. We certainly are writing a fair share of them and drafting them and so on, and I just wonder whether there are times when you shouldn't just take a little breather. I'm certainly surprised to see so many people eager to push more statements through. Perhaps that it's the time of the year. I'm just a little concerned that we would end up with just a, oh yes, plus one type scenario when we've moved forward on it. I just wonder, Rinalia, Tijani, what's your thought on this?
Okay, this is Rinalia. I'll go first if Tijani doesn't mind. I've actually read through all the documents on the revised rights protection mechanism, primarily because I was looking for the treatment on IDNs. And I don't know how Hong feels about it from the Chinese language, but I think from the Arabic languages, there might be some issues. And I am currently seeking clarity from staff.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I've been seeking clarity from staff, and the answers that I'm getting are not providing more clarity.
Can you hear me?
So I'm trying to consult. Who is that? Is that you, Olivier?
I'm sorry. I think I might have dropped off for a second. I'm not quite sure.
I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry about this. I haven't heard you, Rinalia. I apologize.
Okay, quick summary is that I've reviewed all the documents on the revised rights protections mechanism, including the technical specifications. And I think there may be still some issues related to variants, but I am seeking confirmation. If there are no issues, I think it would be okay if we don't issue a statement, but if someone wants to draft a thank you, I don't think that's a problem if they've improved on the variant front. But if there are still some variant issues that need to be flagged, then I think that we do need to provide a substantive input. But I'm still consulting on that front. If I confirm that there are some issues that we need to flag, I'll come back to the ALAC.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rinalia. Please check, and I'll ask staff to check with Hong as well, since Hong had flagged this, and see between the two of you, basically, Rinalia and Hong, whether you wish to move forward. I'm certainly not going to block any spontaneous statement that comes out, except, of course, if there's no consensus about the statement in the ALAC. But it's just I do have concerns about the volume of statements that we're having coming out. And certainly I hope this will just not divert our scarce resources away from our core mission, as Evan has very well mentioned. Let's move on. We've already spent a lot of time on this. The next one is the Explore the Draft Next Generation GTLD Directory Services Model. The ELAC is considering drafting a statement on this. That's pretty much the expert working group. I think we've touched on that enough. Let's move to the next one. And, of course, for the record, we're just waiting for Carlton to follow up on this. Carlton, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, this is Carlton for the record. I just want to caution something. We've issued one sentence statements that, to my mind, were the yellow beans. And I think with the controversy that has surrounded adherence rights and all of these other issues surrounding IDNs, I'm no expert, but I read them clearly and closely. And the rationale behind having a statement saying we are at least satisfied with some of it, I think in this case is well proposed. And so I'm just cautioning that we don't stand in the way of putting that on the record. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Carlton. Well noted. And I saw Tijani had put his hand up slightly earlier. I'm not sure, Tijani, did you wish to speak?
No, it was normally I had to give you my point of view, but you forgot about me. It's not a problem. I just wanted to say that I agree with Evan, but I will not be against a statement if Hong or any other member would like to write a statement. If there is really a real consistent content that we can transmit. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. And I would never dare to forget about you, for the record. Next, let's move to the draft, the statement on WCIT outcomes. Now, that's one thing where the ALAC is drafting a statement, and that's Olivier having to draft a statement. This one is still pending. Somehow it is old news, but I still would like to keep this on there because there will probably come a time when we will need to come up with when we'll have a better idea of what the outcomes are. As you know, ICANN has been quite involved with some of the follow-up, and there are some changes within ICANN for the work that they're doing on this. So it's an ongoing story. Currently open public comments. There are two of them. The locking of domain names subject to UDRP proceedings, policy development process, recommendations for board consideration. The period closes tomorrow. There will be no statement on this. And the GNSO structures charter amendment process, also no statement on this as well. Finally, the new at-large policy development early engagement workspace has been created. And I invite you all to have a look at it. That provides us with an idea of new things that are going to come up, new public comment periods that will come up. I hope that Matt will be able to keep it up to date because the part which is on the overall ICANN website is also sometimes up to date and sometimes not up to date. But hopefully we can find out from that when we will have a lot of work, which is probably pretty much every day. Let's move on to the next thing, the selection of the board member. First, I see Cheryl Engdenor having put her hand up. I'm not sure whether it was for the selection of the board member or before that. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you. It was before that. And I was going to mention this later, but I noted that it's an item that is listed in the early engagement workspace. I thought Matt might find it useful to realise that the CCNSO listed ones there, the one that's listed in May, which is the CCTLD policy development process. That really is the same action item, the same matter as the one listed for August. So there is really only one there under CCNSO. And in fact, by close of the 23rd of August, your time, which is obviously tomorrow for you guys, that will be a fait accompli and will be finalised by the CCNSO Council and will be being transmitted to the board. So there's not likely to be any further engagement with the community in AILAC. So that can probably drop off as of 24 hours hence. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And perhaps we should call it at-large policy development late engagement workspace. But let's just delete those two in the meantime. Thanks for the update on this. Okay, let's go to the next thing, the at-large selection of a board member. So there are a number of next steps which need to be put together, since, as we know, the whole process of reviewing the work, reviewing the process, then getting volunteers to be in the different committees and so on takes some time. I was going to call upon Alan to be able to take us through the process as it works with the new ROPs, of course, in place, and with the old process, being able to interface with the new process. Alan, you have the floor.
My understanding was that our intent was to purely use the new process and not try to mix and match, and we should be in a position to start that within a less than under 2 weeks, I would think, given that we need two votes first, but one of them hopefully will be ready to go by the end of this meeting and the other one shortly afterwards. The first step is to name the committee, whose name I can't remember, but who you referenced before, which is supposed to put together, among other things, a timeline for the election. And in parallel or following that, you need to call for members of the I don't remember exactly how the first committee is put together. It's documented, but I can't remember. The second committee, very much, which is the Board Member Evaluation Committee under some name, because we changed the letters again, I believe. And that one, I believe, has two reps per region and a chair that is either selected, I believe the chair selected by the AILAC. And that group needs to start putting together or modifying, if necessary, the expression of interest statement and mapping out exactly how they're going to do their evaluation. Last time, the group had a rather complex evaluation process, but well documented, which is the only reason I know about it. So there's a lot to be done, but most of it is mapped out. It's going to be crucial to put at least some people on both of those committees who not only can read the instructions but understand what is needed to make sure that there's no guarantee that all the details are there. Some things were omitted last time that never got done. For instance, the process committee is supposed to identify a random selection technique should one be needed. I don't think that was ever done ahead of time. There's a number of aspects like that. So I'm not quite sure what more you want from me at this point.
Thank you very much, Alan. Well, really, I think the roadmap is what's important, since we do need to start building the way forward. I think that the first committee you were referring to was the board selection, a board member selection process committee, the BMSPC.
Correct.
And certainly the next committee is the board candidate evaluation committee, the BCEC.
There's no reason that they can't be created in parallel. And in fact, since there should be no overlap between them, I believe it may be necessary to create them in parallel to make sure people identify themselves or are identified for the right group, but that's up to you when that process kicks off.
So, Alan, it's Olivier speaking. On the first pass, if I remember correctly, there were people who could be members of both the design team and also the other committee, the candidate evaluation committee, are there anything that will say that you're not?
Well, I don't believe there is any prohibition. In fact, I think Cheryl was part of both last time.
There's a couple of people who were, yes, there can be overlap.
Okay, so we need to basically move forward with the first thing being the BMSPC. The BMSPC.
Okay, in theory, I presume you could likely call for members or start the organizing of these before the new rules are in place, but be squeaky clean. You know, so no one objects that the call was made when the rules weren't in effect. I would, you know, we should only have less than 2 weeks to go, and I would wait that time and make it squeaky clean. But we do have to have the process completed, if I remember correctly, by the end of April, which is a bylaw mandated date. So that still gives us a fair number of months.
Okay, fine. I see a green agreement from Tijani on this. So the BMSPC could be called for and discussed at the ALAC meeting as a heads up, which I believe is somewhere on the agenda. Heidi, would you be able to enlighten me on this, please?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
The BMSPC could be called for and discussed at the ALAC meeting, the next ALAC meeting, just as a heads up as what's coming up soon.
Yeah, Olivia, I wouldn't use the term called for if the rules are not in place, but there's no reason not to discuss it and give people a heads up that it's coming real soon, and they should start thinking about how they want to handle it. Because I believe the RALOs are going to have to act to name, if not the process committee, then the evaluation committee. That's my recollection. I can't recall for sure, but I believe the RALOs will have to act. So that process will take time, and there's certainly no reason not to talk about it and talk about it in some detail at the ALAC meeting. The rules may not be in place, but we know what they are.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alan. Yes, Heidi.
Sorry, this is Heidi. Is there an action item then for this particular issue?
There's not an action item. It's just to put it into the ALAC agenda, the next ALAC call agenda.
Okay, thank you. I'll add that. In about 10, 15 minutes of that, do you think?
I would say so, please, yes.
Okay, thank you.
I must say, we all have to do some reading beforehand as well, because there will likely be a lot of questions and not many answers at this point in time. At least this is now in the back of our head, and we can start moving on this. Certainly, I would agree with the fact that the rules of procedures would have to be fully agreed to before we move forward, since I recall in the last run, the big questions that were asked and the dissent that was raised about several of the rules, etc., due to people who were unhappy with the selection.
And it's going to happen again.
Yep.
Exactly. Cheryl Engdonor, you have the floor.
If I may interrupt for a moment, please.
Sure.
It's Alan. I have to leave
this
call.
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I have to leave this call in 2 minutes, and I'll be back sometime around 15, 20 past the hour, I hope. There is no item on the agenda as I see it to agree on the questions I asked about email lists, so if someone could add that under any other business, and we'll talk about when I get back, I guess.
Okay, Alan, thank you. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just wanted to suggest that one way forward with how to deal with this in the ALAC meeting, so it's not going to degenerate get people a little confused, I would suggest, before the rules of procedure finalised, because I do agree you need those bolted down, which is very soon going to happen, before you get into too much minutiae. You could put forward in the discussion with the ALAC the priority for the regions to begin thinking about their two appointees and the importance of that, and thinking in parallel from an ALAC perspective, who they want, because it's an ALAC appointment for the first of the committees, and their regional appointees, but it's still an ALAC committee, which is the second of the two. So more as a personnel, looking for the right people, telling them how demanding the task will be and how undemanding the first one will be, because the first one's a very short term, you know, once it's done then it's over type activity. But still not do it until after the rules of procedure are done. But the RALOs are going to take some time, I would think, to have the appropriate people put forward to the ALAC for endorsement into that second committee, because it is a very demanding task, and you certainly need people who are going to be willing to operate appropriately within the confidentiality rules and everything else. So you might just want to do a discussion only and a heads-up exercise rather than anything too meaningful.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Would you be able to share this and share an idea of the workload
delighted
required with the ALAC when we have that discussion? I'd also see, I'll try and see if there are any other members of the BCAC, if they could share briefly their point of view of the amount of work that is required. I guess maybe this time around will be a little easier, or should be a little easier, by having those people who were on the original BCAC being able to have a real good idea of how much work is needed and being able to relay this back to their region.
Okay.
And I will call for them to relay this back to their region.
One of the points that we need to make with the ALAC, so that they are aware who they should be endorsing, and the types of people and the types of assurances they need from the people that will be offered from the regions, is that half of the BCEC last time never turned up enough, therefore they have no frigging idea how much work there is. You had an effective committee of 5, not 10, and it was appalling. And the regions need to find decent people to put in this time.
Maybe then I won't call onto someone at random, because they might tell me, oh, it was actually quite a brief. Okay,
so
we spent much time on this.
Yeah,
certainly. Okay, so we're all aware on this, that's moving forward. Let's go to the next thing, which is the ALAC CCNSO meeting prep task force, item number 5 on our agenda. We have 5 minutes to treat this. Now, Cheryl, you have the floor.
5 minutes, sure. Wow, okay.
Well, you might need more or less, depending on how much you expand on this. But we all know that we're going to...
Hopefully I won't need your 5 minutes. First of all, I note from the action items that there was to be a call for volunteers. My question is really why. It's really, I think, appropriate for the ALAC to appoint. This needs to be a very small committee. It needs to have your two liaisons, Ron and myself. It needs to have one or two staff members. It might be Bart and Gabby. It might just be Bart, or it might just be Gabby and Heidi and or whoever she decides. And it needs to have that staff input with a direct relationship to the chairs of both the CCNSO and the ALAC, so yourself and whoever they want to put in instead. I mean, you could appoint one of your vice chairs to the role, but I really don't see the value of it being more than 6 or 8 people, and certainly to put out an open call, you're going to get people who think, oh yes, that sounds like a good idea, and it might get me, you know, travel support or something to go to Buenos Aires. And I don't see what that's going to do. I think you should just appoint. Now, if you want to appoint people at the next ALAC meeting, I don't think that's a problem either. But it is only, you know, it's simply setting a shared agenda and managing a joint meeting. And you're only going to get Roloff or whoever Byron or whoever he appoints, which might be Roloff or it might be Keith, one or of the staff in perhaps two out of the CCNSO and Ron. You're going to have a very imbalanced group if you make a public call, in my view. And I'd like you to discuss that first. And then we can talk more about what topics, etc., we should be bringing forward. So let's discuss, do you really mean you want to have a public call to the list?
Well, thank you for this case and for this eloquent way of describing this. I was hoping that we get a balanced multi-stakeholder model of three people per region coming over to that meeting, and no doubt we would have enough volunteers for this sort of work. You know, ultimately, I'm not quite sure what this committee's work is going to be, and so that's why I really resort over to you to let us know what this committee is going to work on. I gather that, yes, there's certainly the two liaisons. I was hoping that perhaps your future replacements, I know that you do have two people who are going for the position, so maybe those two people as well would be good on that committee?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I would like to suggest that this is why appointments. By yes and no, let me answer that a little bit more clearly, at Cheryl, speaking in a very confused manner. Yes, I would think that you could appoint one or two other people. That would be fine, but putting a call out for the people is going to have the opposite effect. You're going to get all sorts of people. Now, they need to be involved in the actual meeting in Buenos Aires. I'm not sure they need to be organised in the preparation of the meeting. I think calling it a task force is part of the problem. That sort of has delusions of grandeur. It's a simple coordination exercise on selection of topics and managing of an agenda.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl.
What you need.
Any thoughts from anyone else on this?
But I don't
I
think
this is
get
really
three
bringing...
or four. You'll get three or four maximum out of the CCNSO.
This is bringing passion on this side of the wall as well, as you can see by the number of hands currently up in the room. I'm okay with your selection, not your selection, sorry, your suggestion for this. I certainly am concerned that we do have plenty of other working groups that we need to have plenty of people working on. This one is just creating a quick agenda together. I see Carton's okay with your suggestion. So let's just change this then, and we change this action item to being that the ALAC will appoint. And I think that the list which you've provided here, so we'd have a couple of staff members, or two liaison and reverse liaison, as I've heard now, is in use at ICANN.
Ron and I are giving...
I would certainly wish to also have at least to ask whether those two people who will be, who are earmarked, one of the two, I guess, will be earmarked for taking over your position afterwards would be there, because it seems to be pivotal for them to be involved. That's a good first step for them to be involved.
You need to discuss that, because only one has continued in that role.
Okay. Only one has continued, so one has made its intentions known of continuing.
Well, one yes, I guess that's the best way to say it. But I've also had people external to that at various other points show an interest, and it's that I want to be concerned about. I don't want this to be seen as a an apprenticeship exercise, because it's not. It's we'd be carrying people into meetings that really don't need to be there. It just needs to be very small, very quick, and very simple. To say the term
right.
task force got delusions of grandeur on it. But yes, I would suggest seeing that Maureen is already going to be a new appointment at Monasteries to the ALAC. She would be an ideal appointment for this role. It makes perfect sense, and it brings in a new ALAC appointment as well. But if you're going to make a, I mean, discuss it at the ALAC would be my suggestion. But it isn't a matter of if you've ever been on a CCNSO work group, you need to be involved in setting the agenda. That's not it. You'll be working with Byron or whoever he appoints, possibly Keith or Rolf. You'll be working with staff, and you'll be working with me and Ron. And that's it.
Okay, Cheryl, thank you. Your 5 minutes are up. In fact, you've taken more than 5 minutes now. I think what we'll do is to just call it the ALAC CCNSO meeting prep committee.
That's it. Yep. Rather than a task force. Yep.
Meeting prep group. There you go, group. It's not a working group. It's just a preparation group or prep, yeah.
Yeah, just leave it.
And we'll basically make sure, so the action item as recorded would be for discussing this over at the next ALAC call, making the suggestion that it would be the two liaisons plus maybe two or three maximum, perhaps just I would say two more people involved. And with a suggestion that those two people be the forthcoming or the earmarked CCNSO liaison, or maybe with a preference for the CCNSO liaison, just not wanting to make this a big group.
That's right.
That's a very long action item, but I hope that Matt has been able to capture this, Matt?
This is Matt for the record. Yes, I have it.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Let's move on. Competition, Consumer Trust, and Consumer Choice Review Team, item number 6 on our agenda. As you know, there's been a call for volunteers now for the review team. Again, this is one of these things where there will be a lot of people that will wish to apply for. We've already seen there are quite a few people who want to apply for it. Since this is a review team, I was going to suggest that we perform the same thing, the same sort of selection process as we did with the ATRT2. And Rinalia had set up a task force to be able to select people for the ATRT2, receiving the different details of the candidates, etc., etc. That seems to be a process that ran quite well. And I was going to run it by you before suggesting it to the ALAC if there is consensus here that this is the way forward. The CCTRT is a very important review team, and so we need people who are very vocal in there, and we just cannot afford to waste that opportunity, certainly with the amount of work that's been done and with the fact that the board has pushed forward for both the ALAC metrics, but also for the GNSO metrics altogether. So that's a super set of metrics. We definitely don't want to be overruled and start having those metrics fall by the wayside because they're too expensive to implement. Any thoughts or comments on this? Evan Nibovich.
Just a comment. I think I might have an interest in this.
Yes, thank you, Evan. I have noted that you did say you might be interested in this. And Carlton?
Yes, sir. This is Carlton. Yes, I too have an interest in this. This is going to be, in my opinion, duel between the GNSO metrics as well as at the heart of it is going to be about the metrics and GNSO. And of course, you know, Evan has been vocal in having a set of metrics that the ALAC has proposed, and I'd like to go and support him on that.
Okay, thank you very much, Carlton. So do you believe that the process by which we would make the selection is okay? The same process that was used for the ATRT2? I see an agreement from Tijani. I wonder, Rinalia, I know that you led the process for ATRT2. Are you, well, two questions. Would you be interested in being on the review team? Or if not, then would you be interested in leading the team to make the selections?
Hi, Olivier. This is Rinalia. I am not interested in being on the review team. On whether or not to lead it, I need to know the timeline specifically just to see how tight it will be.
I think we need to have something by yesterday.
Oh, God.
No, I'm kidding you.
Sorry,
The way it works, yeah, thank you, Heidi. It's Olivier again. The way it works is that the candidatures are to be submitted to the ICANN address by the 1st of October. Then what happens is that we have 1 month from the 1st of October until the 4th of November for the SO and AC endorsement of applicants. So what I was going to ask was for any applicants to both send their candidatures to the rtcandidatures@ icann.org email address, but also simultaneously also send it to ICANN at large staff. So we would be able to populate our own web pages about the candidates so that the committee can immediately, or the task force can immediately look at the different candidates and already start discussing some of the candidates. By the 1st of October, where the announcements, where the candidates are closed, the window for application is closed, the committee should have all of the candidates already in front of them and might have a few more landing on their desk for those candidates that did not follow the rules and that said they were coming from the at-large community but did not carbon copy staff when they send their candidatures over. So I do believe you do have time. Rinalia?
Yeah, can you just tell me from the closing of the date of applications to when ALAC has to say who we endorse, how much time is that?
1 month and 3 days.
1 month and 3 days. And that would happen in October?
1st of October 2013, applications due. 4th of November 2013, SOAC endorsement of applicants due.
And you foresee that this committee to review it would have one per region as the ATRT2 one that I did before?
I think that we do have to look at it in this way, definitely, yes. And I guess if we have less than that total amount, then we'll end up with less than that total amount. But this is a consumer issue, and I do believe that the ALAC should have the largest number of people on that committee if one looks at the different SOs and ACs.
Do we know how
We have not been told, and that's something which I can certainly ask, and ask how many we are able to endorse. It doesn't look at the moment, from the information I have at hand, it doesn't say how many one is able to endorse, and you could definitely ask me as an action item to ask how many would we be endorsing, how many are welcome to be endorsed. Evan, your hand is up. Yes,
oh,
Rinalia, you have time to sleep on it for the next few days, sure.
Sorry, this
and
was
Evan?
I just wanted to repeat the question of do we have any idea how many people from ALAC are being suggested to be part of this? I mean, certainly any kind of idea of this is going to help make the job of the selection group that much easier.
Yes, thank you, Evan. And that's exactly the action item that I think Rinalia has just assigned to me. which is to ask how many we will be allowed.
Sorry, Olivia, you said how many what you will be allowed?
Six. How many delegates would the ALAC be able to sit on the CCT-RT?
Olivia, this is Heidi.
Heidi, go ahead, please.
I'm fast-tracking that action item, and I've just asked the staff member who's working with that. So hopefully by the end of this call, I'll know. We'll know.
I absolutely love action items which already have a tick next to them by the end of the call. Fantastic. Okay, thank you. I see Evan. Now I've got the dancing thing here. There was Evan, now there's Cheryl coming up.
We're fast-tracking hands as well, Cheryl, for the record. I just want to ask a process question. And this could be said, when Heidi was talking to staff, I thought she could find this out as well, you see, that's why I put my hand up quickly. Because I support the methodology that Rinalia managed last time, I think that was an excellent one. On a previous RT exercise, and I'm not sure whether it happened on the last one, which is why I'm asking the question, we had it so that the staff managing the ordinary affirmation of commitments process gave the ALAC, and it was us at the time, a courtesy a copy of heads up or advice when any aspirant came in that stated they were hoping to represent our community. And I wondered whether that was something that was done last time or whether, as you indicated, you had some surprises or potential for some surprises at the end. And if it wasn't done last time, that's one change to the methodology that I would make, if it's at all possible. When something goes to RT candidatures at ICANN.org, if they state that they wish to represent this community and be endorsed by the ALAC, that the staff managing that list should be letting Heidi know, so that your review group know what they're doing without any surprises, that's all. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. That's a very good point. I cannot remember what happened with the HRT2, whether we were told right away or and some of it might be due to whether all of the candidatures were considered at the same time or they were considered as they came in. Heidi, would you remember how this worked? And I know this was only a few months ago.
I would have to double check.
But it certainly is a good point forward. There is one concern, though, which is that if I can remember correctly, the RT candidatures would not provide full details of those people who have applied up front before the closing of the process. That's, I think, how it happened with the HRT2. It doesn't become public, that's right. So now comes the question as to whether they would be happy to share with our committee the details of those people who have applied who say are from the at-large community. Because I guess if it's considered public or not public, or whether they can extend the confidentiality over to our group is another question. And this is why I asked specifically for people to provide a carbon copy of their email to the staff account, so there's no such question being asked.
Sure. Olivia, if I may, I still think that should happen. I still think a carbon copy should happen, because that's just a belts and braces approach. But when there is no filtering, there is no rejection of a appropriately completed volunteer application, then I see no reason that can't be made in a confidential way available to a group you're managing that's managing it confidentially anyway. I think that's a discussion Heidi probably should be having with the staff running the RT process.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl.
I definitely
believe that. But as I said, it's a measure of whether staff trust the volunteer confidentiality in ALAC or not. That's something which Heidi is going to be able to follow up on. Heidi, you caught that?
Yes, I can. This is Heidi. I can follow up on that. I'm just waiting for the person to respond. Okay.
Heidi, I know staff has already sent a notice for the call for volunteers. Did I not follow up on that? I think I might have. Maybe I followed up on something else.
Yes, you did. But I'm not sure if you followed up with the point of how they should be CCing you and at large staff.
I did mention that.
Okay, perfect.
Anyway, let's move on. Time is ticking. Okay, thank you for this. So now we've got a process forward for this. And Renalia, if you could please come back to us as soon as you can in the next few days to let us know whether you'd be interested in being able to lead this effort. Now, the Buenos Aires meeting, and I know it's a tough one, Renalia, so this is why I'm letting you choose. And if you don't want to do it, I'll totally understand as well. Now, the Buenos Aires meeting is the next thing. Agenda item number 7. I turn the floor over to Heidi to let us know a little bit about this. Already Buenos Aires.
Yes, it's not even already. This is Heidi. It's not even already. It's what we have less than 4 months, 3.5 months to go, and it's going to be, as it is the AGM, it's going to be a very big meeting with a lot of people. Before we start talking about the initial agendas and meetings, just to let you know that we are developing the travel database, so you should be getting your welcome emails relatively shortly. Now, I also wanted to, the second item on this agenda is that I wanted to just give you a heads up that there are going to actually be 2 training courses for incoming leaders prior to the start of the actual VA meeting. So the first one is going to be is the facilitation skills training, and details of that meeting will be sent shortly to the community. The dates of that will be the 13th and 14th. Following immediately on the 15th and half day on the 16th, there will be the ACSO orientation training. Now that's, some people may be calling that the Pilot Academy, but I just wanted to let you know that both of those meetings are going to be under the umbrella of the Academy. Relatively, we're hoping as close as possible, the same people, the same participants, incoming leaders. The Academy Working Group is starting to develop that list with staff support. So I wanted to just let everyone know about these 2 groups. Some more details will be coming shortly, and that some of the incoming leaders and trainers will be there in VA for a full 2 weeks for the most part. So, Olivia, moving on to the second item, I just wanted to take this chance to start developing, in general, in broad strokes, what kind of meetings you'd like. Is it basically we can assume that you'll like to have the same general format for the ALAC meetings, and note that the XCOM meeting on Friday will be with the new XCOM, and also due to the liaisons ending on Thursday, that the liaison reports will be on Thursday, and with the new liaisons in place on Friday at the XCOM. So, Olivia, I think that's all that I have right now.
Yes, thank you very much, Heidi. Now, of course, we're going to have one more meeting, which is a meeting with the CCNSO. Are there any meetings that we are likely to drop? Will the ALAC meet with the board? Will it meet with the GAC? Will it meet with global stakeholder engagement, with the communications department, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Do you have any news on this by any chance, Heidi?
Well, I mean, again, these are questions. This is Heidi for the record. These are questions for you. We're going to in terms of board support, Gisela is already following up with them. I don't know, Gisela, if you've heard anything back on that. We are going to obviously have the ALAC meeting with the board on Tuesday. For the additional meeting of the CCNSO, Cheryl, did you think that that was going to be a separate meeting, or would that be within, for example, the Sunday session as we did last time? Did you want a meeting with the GAC? All these questions. I mean, did you want a meeting with the registrars this time? All these sorts of questions, if we could just get some initial thoughts on that.
And when do we need to finalize the agenda by this?
Well, I'm hearing two things. I'm hearing from some people that it's going to be earlier, considerably earlier than usual. And I've heard from others who are actually inputting the material, the information, that no, it'll be the regular time. So it's a posting of the agenda will be about a month prior to the meeting. But what I'm hearing also is that there's going to be a push for earlier confirmation of travel. So we'll be working with Olivier on encouraging everyone to get their travel information booked as quick, or their flights booked as early as possible, and then also getting everything ready to go as early as possible.
Mid-October, then, you're speaking?
For the travel, I'm hoping earlier. I'm hoping, you know, mid to end September for the travel. Now, again, we're all very aware that some of you will be asked to go to the training. So that means that, you know, we need to wait until the academy group confirms who they would like to be there as participants, as trainers. So I've made constituency travel aware of that. So you might be have some change, you know, in your travel plan early October.
Thank you very much, Heidi. Alan, you've put your hand up.
Two things. Number one, regarding this, Heidi's comment that some of us may be there for 2 weeks, and in relation to other, you know, people speaking from other ACs, SOs, and things like that at the training, I presume you're checking with these people if they're available first. There are many people with jobs who actually can't randomly take off 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, yeah, Olivia, Alan, yeah, this is Heidi. We're well aware of that. First thing we need to do is just get the group, the academy group, select the participants, then perhaps have a few people sort of in on standby for those who can't make it.
Okay. The last thing is, Olivier, did you mention what our tentative ATRT plans are?
No, I have not mentioned those yet. I believe that they're not going to impinge on the activities, since they would take place on the Monday, if I remember correctly.
No, well, yes, but last time we talked, that may not have been clear with Heidi, and it's not clear to anyone else. At this point, the ATRT itself is going to be meeting face-to-face Monday afternoon, and the intent at this point is to hold all stakeholder, ACSO, and et cetera, interactions on Tuesday and Wednesday. So, you know, those schedules already are typically very packed schedules. So the ALAC is likely to have to open up a window on one of those days. So something to keep in mind. I don't know if the ATRT team has started approaching people yet or not.
I haven't seen anything yet, Alan, from the ATRT tool so far. Certainly not with regards to the meeting in Buenos Aires. Okay, well, thanks for this advance notice and how we know we're moving forward on this. I must say, just a quick note on the leadership training and on the skills training, I don't know how they call it.
Facilitation skills,
yeah, it's very confusing. Those two, having discussed this over with Chris Gift and with his crew, I'm very happy to see that there is definitely some work going on with Sandra on one side and the Academy working group and with the skills training. So hopefully a joint, maybe not a joint, but a coordinated agenda can work with those two, and a coordinated course can take place. I'm also concerned about the amount of time that people will have to spend there. But we do have to remember that the ICANN week is effectively slipping forward, with the Friday being given away or closed down earlier, and with the earlier week starting earlier. And it's not the first time that other parts of ICANN have started earlier. I know that the GAC has stayed there for a long time. The GNSO has started work earlier in some cases, and there have been some pre-GNSO events taking place during the week. So it's not the end of the world as such. And this is, at the end of the day, an AGM. That's a long meeting as such. Any comments or questions? Alan, your hand is still up.
Sorry, that's an error.
Okay, thank you. Right, let's move on. At this point in time, I really don't know whether the ALAC would like to meet with registrars. I believe with the GAC, yes, definitely. With the board, yes, definitely. These are the two big and important meetings that we do have. With regards to the other parts of the community, we really have to see where we are going and what the hot discussions are going to be about, the hot topics are going to be about, because that I have found somehow determines who we need to speak to during an ALAC, during an ICANN meeting. Big concern is that we are spending too much time in meetings and too much time also on our own meetings as well. And I'm not even sure whether the meeting strategy working group will be providing some feedback by that time as well. And maybe some who are on the meeting strategy working group will be able to let us know. But every time I hear from some board members saying, actually, the next ICANN meeting will be completely different because we will structure it in a different way. And yet it doesn't change. So I'm not quite sure how that will work. I see, I see Tijani, who probably wishes to respond to this point specifically, and then I'll go for Julie Hammer after that. Tijani, please, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. As for the MSWG, the Meeting Strategy Working Group, I don't think that any change can be recommended for the next meeting, because we didn't start drafting the first report, and I think that we will work after Buenos Aires also to give the recommendation of the group. So no change will be recommended by the group for the Buenos Aires. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. And Julie Hammer, you have the floor, although you put your hand down. Julie, you probably are muted at the moment. You're not able to unmute. Do we wish to have a meeting with the ESSAC? Possibly. We certainly have done a very good amount of work together. One thing that would be of interest, Julie, is to find out the forthcoming SAC advice documents, and perhaps these will be whether these will be discussed with the ALAC. So I don't know what the forecast is on this front. How many more documents will this SAC publish this year, and what are they likely to be about? And Julie, I don't know why you can't unmute. Can staff try and unmute you? Okay, probably not. Well, yes, so you'll look into it and let us know. Okay, thanks very much, Julie. Much appreciated. Right, then let's move on. Heidi, do you have any more questions or comments on this, or shall we just go to the next agenda item?
I think that's fine. This is Heidi for the record. I think that's fine for the moment. I'll just go ahead and start putting in the normal meetings, asking the working group chairs and regular chairs, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Thanks very much, Heidi. So the next thing is something that's just around the corner, and that's the topics for our 27th of August ALAC meeting next week. And there were some suggested topics, such as the meeting strategy working group update, the decision on the new chair of the ALAC subcommittee on outreach, which is what we mentioned a bit earlier, next steps for an at-large board member, and working group updates. And I'm not sure what working group updates you think would be worth mentioning. And then I was going to be ready to just provide a brief review of the meetings that I've had over in Los Angeles. Tijani Benjama. You might be muted at the moment, Tijani.
Thank you, Olivier. Yes. I was unmuted. I was muted. What about the capacity building working group? It's not mentioned here.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah, we'll add that.
We mentioned it earlier, so I thought that staff was going to add that anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Tijani, for this reminder. Now I see Heidi has asked whether there should be updates from the Academy and the Technology Task Force. I know that the Technology Task Force is still evaluating many different types of technologies that are coming out for doing conducting online meetings. I'm not sure whether it's something that's really vital to speak about now as they're doing their work, or whether we should wait until they finish their work on this and perhaps provide us with a quick update. Not during this next call, but the call afterwards. With regards to the Academy, definitely of importance, but again, it is on the 27th. I don't know whether Sandra will have much to share with us by that time. Perhaps she will with regards to the Academy on one side and the leadership skills on the other, etc., etc.
Olivier, if I may?
Yes, Olivier. Go ahead, Tijani, please.
Yes, I think we will have things to share with ALAC, because we have two groups working now, one group for the curriculum and another group for the principles for the trainer selection. And
okay.
As Heidi has pressed us and told us that we need to have the trainers already appointed by the 1st of September, we are working very, very fast, and I think that we will have something to present you for the ALAC meeting.
Okay, thanks then. Thanks, Tijani. So let's put the Academy in there. I would be for keeping the Technology Task Force out this month, because we will have so many things to discuss, and I'm always mindful of the length of our calls. Speaking of which, maybe we should move on to the next topic after this. Any further comments on agenda topic number 8? Okay, well, thank you. Heidi, you've captured all of that?
Yes, thank you very much, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi. So now we go on to number 9. Prepare us for Gisela's leave. And I hand the floor back to Heidi and perhaps even to Gisela, who would be able to take us through this. Exactly.
Must purchase knife,
slice veins, this sort of stuff. But maybe not. Let's see how we can cope.
We want this to happen, but we don't want this to happen.
Well, I've just seen a very recent photo of Gisela, and believe me, we want it to happen. So she's going to pop. She's going to explode. So as you know, Gisela is going to be delivering her child in the next 2 weeks. And she's going to be away on leave from the 2nd of September through the 2nd of December. And we're all going to be missing her.
Heidi, I believe someone has dropped off, because we do have this busy signal in the background.
Gisela or Julia, could you take a look at what's going on I am hearing the signal.
We're looking into it. Thanks.
Okay.
It goes faster and faster. It sounds like it's going to explode soon.
It could be more code. Someone might be asking for assistance, do you think?
Go ahead, Heidi. Gisela, with assistance of Natalie and Julia, have developed this list of who's going to handle which of Gisela's activities while she's away, so you know who to call. And so, Gisela, I think, and we've gone over it from at-large staff,
I'm going to hand it to you just very quickly to go over which general items. You don't need to go through all of the issues, but just general items. Who's going to handle what? And I'll Gisela, go ahead and speak, and I'll go ahead and handle call management. If Julia, or if you're, are you handling that, Julia?
Sorry, Heidi, Gisela here. I'm trying to get hold of Tanya. Yes, we're trying to see what this distress sound is.
It's gone. Okay, over to you, Gisela.
Thank you, Gisela here. Up on the screen, we've just put a brief overview of who's doing what during my absence, bearing in mind that anything that the XCOM does need dealing with needs to be sent to the at-large staff email list, please, and not to anyone maybe in particular, just that someone can pick up the ball during our various, during our different office hours. Natalie and Julia will be taking over the bulk of what I do, and as you can see on the screen, we're just looking into general call scheduling. Julia will be doing it for at large, and then Natalie will be dealing with the other side that I deal with, which is the GNSO. You'll still be receiving the calendar invitations, the doodles, etc. If you have any, if anyone in the XCOM is organizing a call, if there's any, if any times need to be taken into consideration, if you could just please let staff and Julia know that she can set up the doodle as accurately as possible. I have given her as much information on everyone's availability as possible. With regards to the mailing list and then the administration of the mailing lists, Matt will be taking over that task. All translations will be dealt with through Julia. And then with regards to the Buenos Aires, I have listed a few of the tasks that I dealt with, and these will be finalized and maybe distributed differently during the policy staff meeting in Los Angeles end of September. But until then, we've just done a rough outline of who's doing what. With regards to the two working groups at the that we've put at the bottom, just because they are part of the working groups that I deal with more than other working groups, the Atlas II and the Metrics working group. Natalie will be helping me out with these so that when I do come back, there's a swift handover and I can just take on from where she left.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gisela. I'm not quite sure of the other tasks to be defined at LA Workshop. I mean, how many hours do you have in a day?
Sorry, Olivia, that was just Gisela here. That was just with regards to any other tasks at the Buenos Aires meeting.
Ah, okay. All right, any questions or comments or Heidi? So who will coordinate all of this?
Again, Heidi, I think Natalie, I think she's going to be really the lead here with Julia working a very close second on that. And then obviously at the other at-large staff are going to help when, you know, where we can on that.
Okay. And will we have, will the XCOM have a copy of this tasks.pdf thing?
Yes.
So we know who to run after rather than bothering everyone?
Yes, you have that on your agenda. You refresh, you'll see that it's been attached to your agenda.
Ah, it's arrived in our absence. Okay, fantastic. Any questions from anyone? Well, Gisela, I'm not sure whether we will have the chance to speak to you. I know that you're due any minute. And so
yeah,
I'll
be next week. Sorry to interrupt. I'll be here next week.
You'll be here next week. So if you'll be here next week, then I'm not going to say good luck yet, and to wish you all the best for the next few months, because that's going to be repeated next week again. But certainly a very, very exciting time to have more members of At Large through a very high birth rate, which is excellent. It always works. We're going to get a lot more members if we continue at this rate. I'm so looking forward to see the little baby, and it's going to be great. Any thoughts, comments, questions by anyone? on this. I think, you know, I have to thank you for putting this together, and I think it's very clear, so I'm glad that the tasks will be shared by, among many. Of course, there's this big concern that it's just going to add to more work for everyone, and as you know, we've got so much coming up in the next 6 to 8 months. In fact, in the future, I think, up to infinity. But definitely good to see all things cleared. If there are any questions, please, by anyone, please ask Heidi, and I'm sure she'll be able to point you to the right person. Let's go on to the next thing. That's the any other business part, and I know that Alan had any other business to ask about or to alert us about. So, Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Okay, as hopefully all of you saw in the little table I sent around, on the state of our various email lists, and many of the parameters seem to be set randomly. And the ones that concern me, I'm in the process of documenting how they are set. So we could leave them like this, document them, but I think this is an opportunity to fix some of the more blatant problems. And I'll describe what I think are those problems and get a sense of this group of whether we can simply arbitrarily change them or we need to go and consult. First of all, we have two lists, the ALAC list and the AFRI discuss list, where if someone sends a message who is not on the list, it is simply discarded as opposed to a rejection message going back. That sends something into a black hole, and I see no reason that anything should be discarded. It's nice, of course, to have spam discarded. But if someone validly sends a message, especially to the AFRI discuss list, not realizing it's private, that's
Alan,
somewhat problematic. Yes.
Alan, did you get my reply on this, on your concerns about the lists? Because the effectively what my reply was that this was just poor list management, and we just need to task someone to even out the whole thing.
Well, I understand.
And I did say on there that the moderators of the list, in other words, both staff and myself, should be copied on any rejected note or anything like that, or that any note that gets put into pending status, et cetera. It's all pretty clear.
Well, it's
but
it's
it just wasn't done, and it's a bit of a...
Olivier, this one I think is pretty clear. I don't think anyone's going to object. On a few of the others, I'm not sure what direction this group wants to go in. That's why I'm raising it here. So the discards we can change to reject. I don't think anyone that's controversial. The next one that I think is critical is XCOM. Anyone can subscribe to it. No notifications, no approval necessary. I believe that one should
be. Is that what
require.
It says at the moment?
I'm telling you how it is. All you have to
Terrible.
Do is say you want to subscribe and confirm it's your address and you're on, which explains how people show up there periodically. And we've known that is the problem. So that one I think should go to admin approval.
Yep.
Currently, ALAC internal is the only ALAC list where not only do you need approval, but you need to confirm your correct address. And so the only way people can get on is by staff adding them. That's not a relevant option, so I think that one should be fixed. The ones that are...
I didn't understand that one. I didn't understand that.
Right now, if someone tries to subscribe to ALAC or ALAC internal, it requires admin agreement.
Yep.
Sometimes they do that. We need to make sure staff understands not to approve those. That's quite point
okay.
number one. Point number two,
yeah.
Once we've done that, there's an extraneous parameter that doesn't need to be set. That's
okay.
housekeeping. The last thing is
okay,
for the
okay.
discuss lists, once we fix the discard, we have three of them at reject and three hold for approval. That is, the moderator or admin can approve or discard depending on their choice. Do we want to leave them three one way, three the other, or do we want them all uniform?
They should all be held for moderation, I believe.
Okay. That's all I need. I will make sure all of that gets done, and the email guide will go out very shortly.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Alan, and thanks for looking into this. It's one of these terrible things where there are so many mailing lists that with time there's a bit of slack and it just goes in all directions.
Yep.
And some change, and sometimes IT also intervenes on these, so it's good that you're managing to clean those up.
Yeah, I'll point out I'm not cleaning up everything. I've only identified and cleaning up the things that I needed to publish. For instance, who the moderators are on the various lists vary all over the place. There are some that are there historically because they were there many years ago. One regional VP is on the list, an APAC list, as a moderator. It varies all over the place. We should clean that up. I'm not attempting to this time.
We definitely should.
Yeah. Okay.
Perhaps should we ask Matt to look at this, please, and to clean those up? Certainly having a moderator as a regional VP is not an option.
Well, it's been like that for 7 years now.
Because things have been like that for 7 years doesn't make it right.
Yeah, on the other hand, Evan and I are still moderators on the North American list, and that's very helpful because we get notices of subscribes and unsubscribes. So,
do you need the password to be able to moderate, though?
We can't moderate. Well, I believe with Mailman, if you get a message with a long encoded string, you can moderate without the password. You can moderate.
Okay.
But honestly, moderation is not the major issue. It's just the informative messages that are the most useful.
Okay.
I think they go together.
Thanks. All right. I see Renalia has put her hand up. Renalia, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is not about the email list, and I'm so grateful that Alan is looking into that. it's about other business. Is it okay that I have something for staff? And Heidi, if you could just note what I had written in chat, when you follow up with Christine Willett on the Economist Intelligence Unit, can you please ask them why the other panel member was dropped? Because that's quite relevant, even though no one has articulated that. Because that will also influence how I draft the statement on community priority evaluation follow-up. The second thing is, can you also please follow up with ICANN travel constituency as well as finance for the people who are going to the IGF? Because some of my panelists are getting quite nervous, especially those from countries that require serious visa letters and stuff like that. That's it from me. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Renalia. This is Heidi. I've taken note of that, and I'll follow up.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Olivier.
Sorry.
When
my turn comes around again, I have one more issue on the mail that I didn't have highlighted properly.
Well, I might just let you go on.
Okay.
Go ahead, Alan.
All right. The ALAC announced list currently, my understanding was that anyone can self-subscribe, but it currently requires admin approval. Is there any reason for that?
I have no clue. Heidi?
I'm sorry, Alan, I didn't get the final part of that question.
The ALAC announce list, if someone tries to self-subscribe, the administrator has to approve. Is there a need for that? If it, so, we'll leave it. Otherwise, we can take it off. One less task to do.
Well, ALAC announces for a limited number of people, so I think that's why that's there.
Oh, my understanding was anyone could self-subscribe. If that's not the case, then fine. I'll correct the documentation.
Yeah, I need to double check with. Well, I need to double check with that with Matt and Cheryl on that. Then,
if you could get back to me, then I'm not sure why Cheryl is still in that loop, but
no, neither am I.
Okay.
Get back to me so I can correct the documentation. I don't care which way it is, as long as I know.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Now, just in response to Renalia's question, I just draw your attention, Renalia, to the actual announcement itself. I think that the statement to be drafted is a statement in response of this request, and I think that this is really aimed at the panel firm's consideration. So discussing the non-appointment of the other firm is perhaps something that would be sent over to the board, but not to the panel firm that was actually appointed. I noticed this morning while reading through this that we're dealing with two different types of advice, perhaps. And yes. I guess some of our advice, which shows concern about the actual choice of the firm and not having community members and so on, will probably not be advice that we can send to the panel firm itself. Renalia?
Yeah, I'm actually clear on that, but I will draft content for both, and then you can decide on how you want to deal with it.
Okay, perfect. That's great, because what we might have to do is to split them again and have a statement for the board and a statement for the panel firm. But certainly, I've read through the guidelines document, and there's a lot in there. I've just scoped through it. It would be really great to find out if this addresses the concerns of correctly identifying a community or if it doesn't. And I know, Tijani, you've done a lot of work on this also for the applicant support program. And maybe you might wish to read through this document, the guidelines document, quite closely as well, since you've got plenty of experience in this matter as well.
And one more thing, Olivier, is it possible once Matt has uploaded that document to the wiki for staff to send out a call for comments on that so that we can get input from the larger community?
Yes, Renalia, I think that was in the list of action items, and I hope that staff is picking this up. This is an urgent one that needs to be done. Certainly the wiki has been created. A link to the page, to the announcement page, plus also a direct link to upload that document is important, and then send it out over to get some input from the ALAC is something we need to do ASAP. There's only 5 days for at-large comments to come in, 5 working days. So, yeah, today, action, urgent. Thanks for this, Renalia. Any other business? Seeing that no one has put their hand up, it is... nearly, was it 1600? No, 1500. No, 1600. Goodness, it's gone fast. It's been 2 hours that we've been on the call. Thanks to all of you for having lasted that long. This was very productive, and I look forward to speaking to all of you next week on our ALAC call. Until then, I hope you'll be able to take a bit of a break. And if you are not, since we have so many actual items and so on, I hope you'll be able to take your work to a place where you'll also enjoy doing it. Thanks to everyone, and take care. This call is now adjourned. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. The call has been adjourned, and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you for joining.